fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered, your spot for Calgary Flames hockey talk. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered, hosted by Kyle Lewis and Brad Brood. Kyle, we are finally here, and yeah, it seems like it's been forever since we were on the show.
Yeah, it does. And actually, the intro to the show today was a little bit glitchy for me. I felt like it was a little time delay there, so
it was.
Maybe the equipment's rusty, too.
I don't know, man. It just, I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know.
When you go, well, the weather's changed a lot too, right? So kind of something. The days are longer. I mean, it's getting warmer, so it just feels like it's been longer than it really has.
I finally got out golfing this week. I got some yard work done this week. That's why I feel like I'm about 90 years old today. yeah, it's finally nice weather, and finally, I don't know. We're in the middle of the off season. We actually have more Flames news, which I never thought we'd top last year, and I just still don't think we will. But
oh God, no. So,
I mean, if we that would be—I don't even know what that would be. But it's
potentially catastrophic.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be positive, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what? It could have been similar if we're led to believe some of what was floating around prior to all the changes. But we'll get into that. But I mean, yeah, even if there were going to be big changes, where we're going to see the likes of what we saw last summer in terms of two superstars leaving, but still a very big off season and arguably a more important one in terms of where this team goes next. Losing a GM is a big deal.
It is. I think people take that lighter than it is. This is going to be we say this every year though, don't we? Like, how many times this year do we say biggest game of the year? But I mean, this off season will define a lot of what happens over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, big time. I mean, we have some prospects that are ready to play. Will they get to play? Will certain players stay, resign? Will we have a captain finally? Like, there's a lot of things going on.
There is. There's a lot. You know, we lost Sutter. We lost for a living. We lost somebody else in Calgary. Did you hear Harvey the Hound is retiring?
What?
Yes. The guy that...
Faking surprise for the sake of the show. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. The guy that... The regular Harvey the Hound is going to be retiring, and there'll be a new Harvey the Hound. So, I wonder if you hear a funny Harvey the Hound story. In Brandon, at the Brandon Wheat Kings game, about 20 years ago. And staying up, we go down. I used to drive up all the time and go to, you know, the two night series if they're playing the Pats or if it's a good rivalry in town, you know, somebody good in town. And so I go to game one on Friday night, and I'm sitting in the hotel Saturday morning having a cup of coffee at breakfast, and there's this guy sitting next to me. I start chatting with him. Come to find out, he is Harvey the Hound, and Harvey the Hound was going to be at the Wheat Kings game on Saturday as a promo. I sat with and had breakfast with the guy who's Harvey the Hound, and I don't even remember his name. I don't even remember his name.
Well, his name's Harvey the Hound. That's all we need to know, right?
Yeah.
Or was, evidently.
Yeah. We talked about the tongue-ripping experience.
Well, yeah, of course.
That's the only thing that really stands out so much with Harvey, right?
I just remember the vignettes they shot afterwards where Harvey was like barking in the video, but they had it captioned where he was talking about McTavish ripping his tongue out. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. It's a summer. We're getting on here. Oh, you got a jersey, Kyle? You got a jersey for us?
Yeah. And you're excited because I didn't show it to you before.
I'm not going to spoil it.
I don't get to talk about this one much, but third jersey from a few years ago.
Did you like that jersey?
I didn't mind it.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it.
I picked this one because he's the only game worn jersey I have left of a player that's still in the playoffs. TJ Brody.
You figured you better get it quick on the episode because he's fading fast.
Yeah, and I can't afford a Geo one, but yeah, it's from the 15-16 season, which is kind of cool or interesting, I guess, because I think it was today, it was all over Twitter that this was like the anniversary of when 8 years ago, Gaudreau tied the game against the Ducks in game three, round two. 15 playoffs, 19 seconds left the third, Gaudreau ties it, Backlund was in overtime.
I remember that.
So I was at that game. I had amazing seats, and I lost my mind. I was at Cowboys till like 3:30 in the morning after that game. The next day, a customer called me. Keep in mind, there's a 3-hour time difference from where I am to Calgary. So he, I was till 3:30. He woke me up at 5.
I'm sure that was a good, healthy conversation.
Oh man, yeah, it was. Whew, yeah, that was a rough go. But anyway, I was just thinking about how, you know, last year into this year, we're all thinking, oh, the, you know, this Flames team with the additions, whatever, is going to be really good. Well, 15-16 was the same thing. It's like, yeah, we made it to the second round last year. We're going to be really good. And
yep,
same thing. Had to fire the coach. You know, a few new players. Oh, it was just, it was a real bad, big letdown of a season.
That was the Bob Hartley year where we thought he was the greatest coach in the world. And our players were,
Wasn't it Bob Hartley that talked to Jonathan Huberdeau? Was it last week?
Yeah. I did see a report of that.
I didn't know Hartley was doing like that. That's kind of cool.
Well, you know what's weird about that, though, is like, why did I think, God, am I getting Bob Hartley mixed up with somebody? But why did I think that Bob Hartley was doing something with professional soccer overseas?
I think he was at one point.
I'm not sure.
Bob Hartley is also from Hawkesbury, Ontario, which is where the manufacturing plant for one of my largest suppliers that I deal with is. So I've been to Bob Hartley's hometown a few times. It is rather unremarkable, but somewhat quaint. And if you're not Bob Hartley and you are from Hawkesbury, you probably work at that plant.
You know what's funny is I thought Bob Hartley was a good coach. I still do.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that came out about him, you know, from Scott Parker and a few other ex-players saying he was a real hard ass and a bit abusive, which I'm not going to get into. I don't doubt it because that's the way hockey was, you know, but mm-hmm. I think he was a fantastic motivator. And I mean, he squeezed more out of that 14-15 team than probably anybody else could have.
I agree.
And he also won the Jack Adams and then was quickly canned, much like Daryl Sutter. Well, somebody said on Twitter today that trophy's a kiss of death, and I'm inclined to agree. So,
well, it usually goes to a team who sucks, that overachieves. It is. No, listen to me.
No, you're right. I know. They
suck.
You just emphasize the word sucks so much.
And then they overachieve the next year, and they look like they're world beaters. And then the next year, they fall back to reality. Yeah. That's then.
Yeah, 100%.
Then the firing comes. Yep. It is time for a summer episode. Is it summer yet? Kind of, yeah. We're getting into it now, I guess, a little bit. But it is a summer edition of Flames Unfiltered. We got a bunch of Flames news to discuss, from the Wranglers, Mahjupani having surgery, World Championships, Shillington news, and NCARS, the big news. Sutter's fired, the arena agreement, and Walker Dewar re-signs with the Calgary Flames. It is going to be a busy off-season episode of Flames Unfiltered. Okay, now let's get on to there. Let's talk good news right away. And let's talk a little bit about the Wranglers as they're in the middle of a playoffs. And I've been following this somewhat close. I haven't been watching all the games, but I've been somewhat close. And they move on to the third round now, as they are going to be starting this Thursday at the Dome against Coachella Valley,
Is that how you pronounce that?
Coachella.
Is it Coachella? You got it. Coachella. So Coachella, that's the Phantoms, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who they're the farm club of, though. Because Abbotsford's Vancouver. There's the San Jose Barracuda.
All the California teams are appropriately
married. Why am I drawing a blank on this? Who are they?
Well, I'll give you a hint. They are still in the playoffs.
Seattle.
Bingo. Well done. 5 stars.
You know why I knew that? Because I know they're a new team, too.
That's
the only reason.
And how about that for Seattle? Their AHL team in the third round. They're in the second round. Like,
if I would have told
Minnesota and Columbus came in the league and how terrible they were, or Atlanta.
Yeah.
And now, like, you know, Vegas goes to cup final year one, Seattle year two in the second round of the playoffs. Like, it's ridiculous.
If I would have told you, though, that Seattle's going to be taking on Dallas in round two this year, you'd have told me to hit the road.
Yeah, after I told you how little I'd care about that series, and guess what? I really don't care about that series.
I'm having a struggle watching that one. I am. I'm not. I'm really having a struggle watching that one.
I just don't care about either team at all.
No. I only care about two series right now. I'm watching the Vegas-Edmonton because I hate Edmonton number one of any team, and I hate Vegas number two of any team. So I'm hoping for a lot of blood.
Wow.
I'm watching Florida and Toronto just because it's funny watching Toronto lose their minds. And it's also funny watching Flames fans lose their mind over, we had Sam Bennett and we had Matthew Tkachuk. And yeah, whatever. You bitched about Sam Bennett every day. This fan base ought to be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, well, those that did, those are the ones, like you say, that are lauding his success right now. I try not to listen to that stuff because I don't care.
I don't either anymore.
You know, Tkachuk broke his hand or his thumb or something in like game one against Dallas last year, so he was largely ineffective in the playoffs, which I think was a big reason why. And as far as Sam Bennett goes, I mean, he got dicked around by the team just as much as he dicked the team around in my mind. So
I think that was a mutual affair.
Yeah, 100% it was. And I'm not faulting either one of them for how it went. It just didn't go well. It sucks because, you know, when he got drafted, in the 15 playoffs, I bought the number 63 Sam Bennett t-shirt while I was in Calgary.
I wish I had that.
I sent that to a girl in Calgary because she was a big Sam Bennett fan.
Yeah.
She had like a bunch of his jerseys. She even follows him with the Panthers and whatever. So it was better off with her than me. But the point is, the whole thing with him, just it didn't pan out like we hoped. I mean, I was so high on him when he got drafted.
I was too, but I also believe in the first round curse that we do in Canada too. So, I don't know. Game one of this series, Pelche wins it in overtime. Game two, Phillips wins it in overtime. Game three, Abbotsford takes it 3-2. And last night, Adam Klapka gets a game winner with about 7 minutes to go with a 3-2 win over Abbotsford. And, the Wranglers are on to, the third round, 'cause they had a bye in the first round. Which they have a weird playoff format. Really, really weird.
Very weird, yeah.
Really, really weird. But anyways, Dustin Wolf been good. He was also named MVP of the American Hockey League. Big shocker, another award for him. I think he's won every award known to man. Other offseason news. Andrew Mangiapane has successful shoulder surgery and should be good to go for training camp. So that is good news. World champion.
Oliver Shillington is going to be playing next year, which is great news.
Well, I saw on Instagram a picture of him, or actually a video of him shooting and doing some drills, which was good. And then it was announced by Maloney that he confirmed that Shillington will be returning next season, which is excellent news. Let's hope we get the Shillington we had 2 years ago, not the Shillington we had 4 years ago. People forget. I think we will get the good Shillington. People forget that not last year, but the year before when we had Shillington for the full year, like he was on the fence to make the team. Like he was going to be the Valimaki of this year that went on waivers.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, it was a shock to most people, you know, fans and I think people even in the organization when Shillington overtook Valimaki in the depth chart. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, "Wow, like I didn't see that coming."
No, I don't think any of us did we?
No, not at all. Now, it's worth pointing out, too, I don't know that this will happen. In fact, I doubt it will, but it is a possibility. We had talked a few weeks back that about how it would be more fair to everyone involved if Shillington's contract slid for a year where he didn't play at all this year. And that is actually an option because somebody on Twitter had referenced another player who actually chose to do that.
Do you think that'll happen?
I don't think it will. I don't know. Just because it's such a rare thing, but it would be... It should be CBA mandated that it does. I don't believe for any reason you should take a year off of your contract and then just lose a year of it.
He got paid. Right. And I don't know what went on, and I'm happy that he's back, and I'm not faulting him. But, like, I personally, I don't know, maybe I'm just different. I personally would be sitting there eating my Fruit Loops in the morning and go, I owe this team a year at that same salary. Let's roll this over because I wasn't here and they were nice enough to compensate me. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I also love Fruit Loops. I haven't had them in years, but I do love them.
You got to buy them. See, I have kids, so like I still buy all the fancy cereals, you know.
And I eat them. Do you have them yourself?
Heck yeah, I eat them. Why not?
It's perfect.
Right? We got to be a kid somehow, right?
Yeah, exactly. Good for you.
Yeah, Apple Jacks. I like them too.
Forget about Apple Jacks.
World Championships. Do you give a royal rat's ass about the World Championships?
I did the year that Manjay Pani lit them up. generally, otherwise, no. I said this. I'm going to bring this up again just because your reaction was funny, so hopefully we can replicate it or make it even better. But I asked you what the fuck they were thinking by putting Milan Lucic on that team, and you basically didn't want to talk about it, so I said I would because it's worthy of mention.
I said I'm done talking about Lucic. When he skated off the ice, game 82, peace out. Good to know you. You're gone. See ya. No need to watch your slow, fat ass anymore.
I don't recall that tournament ever having any amount of vitriol or aggression. Like, what of all the players of all 700 in the league or whatever it is, and so many of them are on the golf course, you couldn't find somebody else that was willing to go to that tournament?
You couldn't find a Canadian hockey, like, first or second.
How do you
second?
Call him ahead of Jonathan Huberdeau, despite the fact Huberdeau had an off year? How do you do that?
Are we just not seeing what the rest of the hockey world sees in Milan Lucic? I mean, are we missing something? Because, like, there's got to be 1,000 other Canadian players that would fit that spot better.
Well, fuck, I'm probably one of them. And I suck too. Like,
we're so hard on him. I thought we were done with him. I thought we were done.
You know what he's going to do?
Oh, don't even say it.
No, it's not going to happen in Calgary, but because he's got, you know, intangibles or whatever, he's going to parlay this tournament into something of a success and get a contract somewhere.
I hope it's with one of our rivals.
Or back in Boston, because that'd be kind of cool. But
I hate Boston, so go there.
Yeah, I don't know, but that that's as much as we can say about the world champ. I mean, Mackenzie Weegar going is good. He had a great second half, was solid all year, but
and Toffoli.
Toffoli, yeah, he was the best year of his career. But the Lucic thing is just, yeah, let's just move on because I have nothing more to say about it.
In the first 17 minutes of the podcast, I've thrown out my three least favorite teams: the Oilers, the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Boston Bruins.
Uh-huh.
Who are your three favorite or least favorite teams?
Well, the Ducks, which is funny because I used to love them because
who cares about the Ducks anymore?
I used to love them when Paul Curry was there, but yeah. I absolutely hated Corey Perry. I hated him so much.
Oh,
I did. He had that lengthy losing curve. So the Ducks are up there. And I'm not a big Trevor Zegras fan. Hell of a talent, but.
No, I don't like his attitude. Yeah.
Nah, he just rubs me the wrong way. I wouldn't normally have said the Oilers in years past, but that's where my ex-girlfriend lives, so I'll say the Oilers. And the reason I never hated the Oilers, I know, but I'm an East Coast kid, so they never really bothered me. Like, I cheered for them in 06 when they had Ryan Smith and guys that they were at least admirable, right?
See,
and I will say, the jerseys they wore back then were beautiful. The copper and blue were nice jerseys. But now I hate the Oilers as much as I probably should, or should have all along.
I'm an Oilers hater. Well, I'm a Flames fan, but I'm an Oilers hater, but I'm respectful about it. Like, Ryan Smith was a good hockey player. Like, he's a heart and soul guy. You know, there's guys like that, but, like, I watch the smirks on McDavid's face right now.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff, I don't know. I dislike McDavid more than Dreisaitl. I respect the hell out of Dreisaitl. I'd probably give up, I don't know, half our team for Dreisaitl.
Wow. And it's funny because a lot of Flames fans say he's overrated. But for a third team that I hate, that's actually kind of tough. I kind of hate the Coyotes because... Yeah, but see, I hate them for entirely different reasons. I hate them because they exist.
They aren't going to exist. May 16th is the day of the vote, and I don't think it's going through.
I just don't. And I'm like, you know, God bless Mike Gold because he loves the Coyotes for some reason. And he's a great hockey mind, you know, a great follow on Twitter. But they play in a college arena. They suck year after year after year. Gary Bettman has spent millions of dollars and countless hours in trying to make a team work when he wouldn't do it in other cities to nearly this extent. They're just a joke.
They're an embarrassment.
Yeah, they really are. And I mean, for me, my hatred of teams is often tied to the personalities that play for them. So I'll have a team that I hate a bunch next year. I kind of hate wherever Radko Gudas is because he's a dick. But, you know, we'll see. And then we'll see what happens next.
We've been critical of players today. That's good. That's good. That's good. We're in that mood. Well, so it's a good time to talk about this.
Yeah.
Daryl Sutter gets fired.
Man, did he ever get fired. And I say that, did he ever get fired? Because his extension hadn't even kicked in. That's a hell of a firing.
Has
that ever happened before?
Yes. Yes, it has. They were talking about this on Hockey Talk the other day. It has happened. I can't think of it right off the top of my head right now who it was, but it's happened before. It's happened actually multiple times. Actually, check Vancouver. This is a very Vancouver-esque thing.
Dysfunction?
Yeah. I think it's probably happened in Vancouver.
Oh, man.
Because Vancouver is the only team paying for more coaches now than us.
Yeah, and, you know, that's pretty telling in itself.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Where do we want to go with this?
Well, I'm gonna kick it off, I guess, because there's a bunch of little snippets that I think are worth pointing out here. According to Frank Cervelli, for whatever reason, recently seems to be the authority on the Flames, which I'm not really sure I understand. I feel bad for him because he looks ancient and is younger than me. But
he looks as old as me. He's not.
I don't know how to put a positive spin on that, so I'm just going to blow past it.
Look at his hair. His hair is the gray like mine.
Actually, it is. The tone is very similar.
It's very similar.
But you earned yours. I don't know what the hell he did during his so young. But the thing, so apparently there's a bunch of trade requests that have now been rescinded. And then you have Jonathan Huberdeau saying in his interview with Bob Hartley, you know, that he's looking forward to a fresh start. He had a really tough year. You know, they didn't really gel. Not surprising. Jacob Peltier. I don't know if you heard his comments.
I just heard it. I just saw it this morning.
Yeah, actually. Really hard to sit on the sidelines. I understand you wanted more experience, but I wanted to help.
But, you know, I read his comments, and they were pushed out there like they were big breaking news. But after I read it, I thought, of course he felt that way. How would you not feel that way?
But all these different things add up to the fact that this was not going to work.
But don't you think Dennis Gilbert felt the same way as Peltier, but no one makes a mention of how he feels?
He didn't play for a long time. I guess part of it is this relative expectations. Dennis Gilbert is expected to be a career tweener, right?
I get it.
Anyway, that's how I look at it. But everything amounts to a situation that was not going to get better. Sutter had embarrassed himself with his comments after Peltier's first game. He never admitted any wrongdoing.
I agree.
Those were the things that really irked me, and his complete refusal to do the right thing. So this whole idea that guys like Trevor Lewis, and I love Lewis, but anyway, Trevor Lewis, Lucic, Nick Ritchie, these guys have been around a little longer, in some cases way longer, that they somehow, because they're more experienced, were better to have in a playoff race, is the most erroneous, bullshit, ridiculous thinking I've ever
heard. I could get on board with it, you know, if 10 games in we were seeing what he was saying.
When you've said this before, you know, if
we'd seen results. But we weren't seeing those results, so if you don't see the results, then you need to switch it up. I'll be honest with you, Kyle, on this. I'm having a real hard time with the Daryl Sutter thing. And here's why I'm having a hard time. If right now you ask me, Brad, are you happy that he got fired? I'd probably say I wish they would have just, yes, I'm glad we're having a new coach next year, I guess would be the best way to word it. I wish it would have been handled a little bit differently. I'm glad we're having a new coach next year. And quite honestly, at this point right now, like if we're going to change the whole tone of everything here, then I love Brad for living, and I went to bat for him all over Twitter and Facebook and get crucified daily for it. But I'm okay with a new start as long as we get the right direction going. Okay. Yep. But the fact that just 12 months ago, everybody in Calgary land was screaming about how epic of a coach we had and da 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 da. To go to this and the way they're crucifying him now is a little bit, makes me want to puke. Do I think he probably needed to be changed this year? Yeah, I went through a laundry list of stuff that I was pissed off about this year. I mean, listen to the past episodes. I mean, I was all over him. Yeah, but
and rightfully so.
But I don't know. I guess the problem I have is just, you know, and it even came up in the conversation when Don Maloney said, well, I don't want people to think the inmates are running the asylum. I think they are. And I'm not saying that's why we should have kept Sutter in. I didn't want that. But I think we need to listen to players. But I also think if you go too far and do everything that the players want, you're going to lose.
Well, that's the same thing with any other, you know, any other business, any other industry, any other job.
I agree.
The problem to me is that we live in a world of absolutes. So you have that article that came out. It was Rick Bell that wrote it, talking about like the snowflake players push Sutter. It's like, okay, that is too, that's too far the other way. I don't completely buy that. I don't doubt that there's some truth to some players, you know, not having the fortitude to deal with a coach like that.
But I think, Kyle, it's kind of like politics. You get the way far goofy left and you get the way far goofy right.
Exactly. And I was thinking that actually, honest to God.
And I think, you know, some of these articles that we're reading right now are live by Sutter. He is the word and da da da. And I think that's a little bit too far to this side. And then you have the, well, fire Sutter. He's da 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 da. That's a little too far to this side. I think you need to kind of look at it with a little bit of perspective on, you know, what, how these players act nowadays, how Sutter coached. I don't think this one bad year defines Sutter's career, just like I don't think Huberto's one bad year defines him.
No.
But the fact of the matter is we've went through four coaches in 7 years, and we've changed the core. So something's got to give here. And sometimes I think players need to look in the mirror a little bit.
Oh, there's a lot of that that needs to happen, I think. But this is... The situation, when you look at it objectively as one can, it wasn't going to work going forward. Sutter made some horrendous lineup decisions that cost his team games, you know, throughout the year. And for that reason, among, you know, others, it's just, it wasn't going to be a fit. And I don't know that it was ever the right move to hand a guy at his age with his reputation a contract extension when they did. He did a hell of a job. But, you know, It's not Daryl Sutter's fault. It's the team's fault for putting so much faith in him.
Yeah, I agree.
At a time in his career when he had nothing left to prove, he came back to Calgary hoping to win a championship. He took hold of a team that was in dire straits when Jeff Ward was coaching. Like, we can both agree on that. And he gave us a really fun year, and that's probably all it was going to be. I mean, it was a victory lap for him, you know, trying to win a cup with the Flames, and it didn't happen. So, the NHL, though, I'm not just going to pick on the Flames here. They're notorious for overcommitting to players, to staff. And these decisions, like, there's so many different ways of looking at them. And I mentioned, like, the one in Pittsburgh. I mean, they fire everybody, you know? Like,
that's a new ownership group just cleaning the house. But that's
But I mean, and that's, there's a lot of truth to that. But at the same time, like, your core players are aging out.
Yeah. How do you?
This decline was going to happen, right?
The thing that bothers me is I feel like, and I'm, God, I sound really old school by saying this. I hate how in professional sports, the fall guy is always the coach. Never mind Kadri's play behind the net. We'll never forget that play, right? But the fans forgot it right away.
Yep.
That attitude, that cancer, you know, you can't, you know, you can say, well, you know, we can hear all the time, well, the guys all hated Sutter in the locker room. Well, did they hate Kadri too? Did they hate so-and-so? I'm just speculating. I'm just, you know, I'm saying, like, if I'm playing, Kyle, and me and you are on a team, and you make that play behind the net and throw a cop-ass attitude about, well, I'm not happy with the coach and da-da-da-da, I'm thinking, well, I don't think he's a real stand-up guy either. You know what I mean?
I
think there's more problems in that locker room than Daryl Sutter.
Oh, I'm sure that there are, and I'm not going to suggest they can't necessarily be rectified with the right coach, which we'll talk a little bit about who that could be.
I agree.
But the problem with professional sports is even if it costs you $8 million, you can still throw the coach out on his ass, right? That's the Flames state.
Yes, I agree. I get that. Yeah. And I'm not.
And I agree with you. It's too easy to scapegoat the coach.
And I'm so. That's what really has got me torn on this one. Is like, I think honestly, if I would have had to vote at the end of the year, I would have said, yeah, I want a new coach. I would have. And it's hard for me to say that because, like, I think people forget, like, all that Sutter. I don't think anybody, including, unfortunately, half of the locker room probably, I don't think anybody wanted to win in Calgary more than Daryl Sutter.
Oh, no question.
But people forget that. People in Calgary forget that. Like, that's what we want in a coach. That's what we want in a person.
I think that the sad part about it, and it's not like, you know, people's relationships or different things in their lives to look back on. Like, we're going to look back very fondly on Daryl Sutter's tenure as a Flames coach. I mean, he basically saved the team in 2004 with a team that had no business making the playoffs, but they worked their asses off because of him, largely because of him. Also, you know, having the best captain in Flames history, Drew McGinley, best player as well. But I find it over time, and even the last few like week or so, it's kind of calmed a bit how people have looked at him and perceived him. And hopefully in time, you know, they'll look back and talk about what a great coach he was. But it was time to move on. But it's a shame that it has to be done with so much vitriol and more talk of all the things he did wrong, fair to a point, but not of so course. Much. But okay, how do we get this group back on track? Who is the right guy to coach this team?
It's one of those things, you know, it's like, what have you done for me lately? And lately, he's got this much negativity of bad things he did, and he did do them. But what we're forgetting is the books, the chapters he's wrote for in this franchise history of positives. And I'm with you on that. I hope that when we look back at Daryl Sutter, even 2 years from now, we look back on it as fond memories. You know, it's not going to be the same at the Dome without Chris Danson and I don't know. I don't know. It's just it's sad, but yet it's reality.
Yep. And in that, as in the end of anything, you know, that's meaningful, like, this is probably arguably the best opportunity the Flames have had to properly hit the reset button in terms of how they do things. So are they going to, and Don Maloney talked about a lot of this stuff, and it meant a lot to me to hear it. Are we going to see an opening night lineup that has Pelletier, Dewar, Coronado?
No.
You don't think?
I think we see Pelletier. I think we see Dewar. And I pray we see Coronado if he earns it. But I'm too old-fashioned to say you're going to get it because you're a first-round pick. You know what? If the young man has world championship.
He's going to earn it if they let him earn
it. Yep, that's it. And I want him on the team. And I pray to God he's on that opening night roster. But damn it, he's better do it because he busted his ass and earned it.
Oh, I don't. They're not going to gift out. No matter who the coach is or the coaching staff consists of, they're not going to hand out jobs, I don't think. I just think this is an opportunity to stop plugging roster perceived holes.
That's done.
With veterans who are. It has to stop. Because this is why mediocrity never, ever ends.
But that was a Sutter thing, though. That wasn't just. That was. I mean, as much as I've pretty much erased Glenn Gulletson's time from my mind.
He who trotted out Troy Brower in the first power play unit. You forget about that guy?
But, like, Jeff Ward and Daryl Sutter were the only guys that hired plugs. Signed plugs.
Oh, I would argue we've had 20 years of plugs. There's always plugs. Like, we're always marching out.
Well, but you can't shove prospects in there if they're not. I mean, if you look at, the only defense I have here is if you looked at our draft history from 1990 till now, it's not that great. It's only been really good in the last Trelivian years, to be honest with you. Prior to that, it was god awful. And so.
You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what I'm saying. Our drafting was terrible. So
then you had to fill it with plugs.
Yeah, but we're still doing it and our drafting isn't terrible. That's the problem, right?
That's the problem.
So now we have an opportunity. If these guys earn these jobs as well-conditioned, psychologically sound prospects often are, they need to be, if you earn the job, you get the job. I'm with you. Well, you had a really good camp, but we like this 35-year-old. So if he gets hurt, we'll call you. You know, so, and that's the thing. Like, and you're 100% right. Like, right back to Nicholas Sundblad, you know, years ago, like 91, maybe a terrible first round bust. I mean, the only players of note we drafted, at least in the first round, that were anything were Derek Morris, Denny Gauthier. And then you get into guys who were like,
that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. You had guys who drafted way too, like Michael Backlund is probably one of our best first round picks ever.
Yeah.
And he's a great player, but he's not a superstar.
No.
So,
but he's a great player. Like I would look at that pick as a great pick. But
it was a great pick. But I mean, how many players have been drafted that were so much, you know, higher in scores, right?
Kyle, we've had more 5th, 6th, and 7th rounders pan out than we have first rounders.
Absolutely.
And 5th, 6th, and 7th rounders, it takes luck.
Yeah, for the most part, Dustin Wolf wasn't luck. That was a guy that was drafted way too late because he's small. Much like a Theo Fleury, a Johnny Gaudreau.
Yes, I agree. But, yeah, I mean, yes. I just look and I feel like somewhat rejuvenated knowing that we're going to have a new GM and new coach. And yeah. But my fear is, and I want to get your take on this, like, do you want him to go outside or do you want him to stay inside?
For the coach?
Yeah. Or no, both.
Well, we talked about this a bit on our last show. I think Craig Conroy's earned the job. I'm a little concerned about hiring internally in the GM chair because I think a fresh set of eyes might be exactly what the team needs. So that's
my fear too, because I like Craig Conroy and I kind of hope he gets it. But yet part of me is like, dude, this is our opportunity to get a fresh set of multiple sets of eyes. This is a fresh reset. And I just don't know right now if going with what I think is going to happen, and I think it's going to be Conroy and Love. Number one, I think they'll both be cheaper.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking the ownership for that at all. I'm just saying, and that's another thing. I mean, like we can be mad at the owner and whatever, cause we haven't won a championship. But I mean, if you look, there is not a lot of teams in the league that have won. I mean, quite honestly, there's a lot of teams that in the league that have never won. And I'm trying to look at this a little bit more positively, and like I think Conroy and Love would be fine, but I'm just worried that if it doesn't turn around, then we're going to be like, oh well, you know, we should have went outside the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Conroy is a smart guy and has done his homework and has been in the role for a long time now, right? So I'm not too concerned about him. And as far as the coach goes, I don't see, like, I know Gerard Gallant's available as of today. I don't know there's any other better candidates that would probably suit this group more than Mitch Love. And much like Dustin Wolf, what else does he have to prove in the AHL, especially if he wins a championship this year?
I don't want Andrew Burnett.
And why do you say that?
I don't know. It's like a weird feeling inside of me. I'd have nothing. I don't know him. Like I don't know him. You know, I mean, I don't know. I just don't feel like that's the answer. There's a lot of talk about Bruce Boudreau today too.
So what are your thoughts on him?
I've always loved Bruce Boudreau. I don't know if I want him coaching the
Flames. He's a wrestling fan, so I have a soft spot for him.
I don't know if I want him coaching the Flames, but honest to God, if you said, Brad, you got to name me 5 of your favorite all-time coaches, he's in it for sure. I think he's a great guy. He's like the guy you want to go sit and have a beer with. Like, I mean, he is like as good.
Well, maybe he's right. Maybe he's great for this group of players then.
He's as good of a human being, I think, as there is out there, and I think he knows the game as good as anybody out there.
Yep. I don't think there's any question about that. You see, I'll ask the same thing to you. Internal versus external. GM and then coach, go. Now, you've already talked a bit about Conroy, so I have a sense of where you're leaning on that.
I'm leaning for him, but my gut tells me no.
That's tough. That's not an enviable position to be in.
Here's probably my thing is, I think what I need to do before our next podcast is I need to really take a deep dive into who could fill that role.
Yeah.
And fill it better than Craig Conroy. And I don't know if that's out there, but I do need to really research and find out about other potential GMs and who could fit that role. Is that a fair cop out of the answer?
That's an excellent cop out of an answer.
As far as coach goes, the fact that we're talking in Calgary about what coach we're going to hire before we have a GM, makes me want to puke because that's what Vancouver did, and I made fun of them so mightily on the show that if we do that now, I'm gonna be pissed because that's like ass backwards.
Also, while we were talking, I did some quick list here. We, to your point about how many teams have not won a Stanley Cup, it's a third of the league has never won a cup. That's a higher number than I thought. So,
and two thirds of the league, I bet, haven't won more than one.
I'm not going to do that again right
Come
now.
Come on, Kyle. Right. No, I'm just joking. I'm serious, though. I bet you if you put that down, you'd be like, oh, crap. You know, they just said today that the eight teams are not today. After round one, I believe it was that the eight teams in it haven't won for 16 years. The last one was Carolina.
Wow.
So think about that.
Obviously, Seattle's never won one.
Never won. So eight teams that we have, eight teams haven't won for 16 years. None of them.
You know what? This list that you just mentioned, too, about winning only one cup is pretty friggin' substantial.
And that's why, I mean, I'm not, like, saying, like, we shouldn't be upset that we haven't won since 89, because we should be. We demand excellence, right? But it's difficult. This is not something that gets handed to you. You need a lot of things to go your way. You need to stay injury-free. You need to have a good roster. You need to have some prospects step up at low cap value to produce, like, big number guys. You need good goaltending, you need good coaching, you need all this to fall into place all in 1 year and get luck on top of that to win a Stanley Cup. That's a lot. So
just looking quickly, it looks like six teams have only won one cup. It's still a decent amount.
Six teams have won one?
Yeah, Calgary, Anaheim, Carolina, Dallas, St. Louis, and Washington.
So what's that, 16 teams have won one or less then?
Basically 16 or 17
have won. That's one half the less. League.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So anyway, so for all the bullshit, let's kind of, I guess, put a bow on this point and you know what you've laid out very well. All the bullshit, all the staff changes, all the players underperforming, like the year over year, if you look at all the years the Flames have made the playoffs versus all the years they didn't, apart from especially that stretch from 96 to 2004, they've generally not been far from getting in, but between injuries, poor goaltender play, being outcoached in some instances, you know, obviously they haven't got too far, but we've made it out of the second round twice in the last, eight years now anyway, versus the only two prior times they ever did it was 2004 and 89 when they won. That is very incremental improvement, but I'll take it as a sign at least the team is staying somewhat competitive.
You know, you guys, everybody screams for rebuilds. And what people forget is we all remember the rebuilds that work. We do.
Yeah.
But we don't remember the rebuilds that never worked. Look at how long Buffalo's been trying to rebuild and then rebuild and rebuild. You know, there's so many
Arizona.
There's so many examples. So, you know, next year, I think our team is a competitive team right out of the gate next year. That could do good things, really good things.
I think with some youth injected into that lineup, with the mobile defenseman like Oliver Shillington coming back, if we get Markstrom to be at least half as good as he can be,
We're going to get better goaltending next year. We will. I can promise you that.
Oh, mathematically, we pretty well have to. If we don't,
we will.
You and I will be having a conversation.
We will. We will have better goaltending next year. Because if we don't with Markstrom, we'll get it with Wolf. And this team is not going to like go into camp with Markstrom and Vladar and have both of them struggle and not do something.
That's what they did this year.
Talking about a whole different animal, right?
Well, maybe. Depends on who the coach is. How stubborn they're going to be. And the GM.
I think it's going to be a high consideration in the hiring process.
You're 100% right. But this is exactly
it. I think one of the things I think in the hiring process that you're going to see in Calgary this year, and I'd love to be in those rooms listening. I don't think it's going to be an old school guy. I think it's going
to
be
I don't know how it can be, because the only way for this team to be competitive, to take any kind of a step forward, or at least tread water and be a playoff bubble team, is to embrace their younger talent that they know, guys like Jacob Pelche and Walker Dewar, who got that extension that we've mentioned briefly. Like, those guys, if they have to turn to them because their cap situation won't allow them to go out and sign, you know, Patrick Kane or whoever, not that they would, but you know what I mean? Like, this is the route they have to go. So whoever they hire is going to have to get on board with that. And honestly, it's the best recipe for success because there isn't a freaking team left in the playoffs who doesn't have some excellent young players in their lineup right now. And they're there because they gave them a chance to be there and they let them figure it out and let them learn their way and play.
We did it with one guy this year, and we just signed him to a one-way deal, 2 years, and that's Walker Dewar at $825,000. Now, look what that helps us with the cap next year.
That is the best segue we've ever had on this podcast. Very well done. Just a little nod. If you didn't see this on YouTube, you just gave me the most condescending, I know, nod I've ever seen.
No, I'm happy because we finally get to see a prospect do what we expected him to do. Did we expect Walker Dewar to be a world beater in the National Hockey League? No. But he comes up last year, and he did exactly what we've all wanted him to do when we signed him.
He's going to have a 20-goal season. Maybe not next year, but he will in his career. I said that not that long ago. I'm sure he will.
I don't doubt that you're wrong. I love the way he plays. He works hard.
Yeah. Arena. Then I'm wrong or then I'm right?
What?
So you don't doubt that I'm wrong? No.
I don't doubt that you're right. Gosh, I've had a rough week. I did.
Yeah, I was. Well, yeah,
you've been down for the count.
I was out, man.
I feel good now, but I feel a little bit. I don't know what my attitude with this team is right now. It's a little bit like I want to see what happens. I'm anxious.
Well, yeah, I think anybody kind of feels that way, right? It's
you know what I did today, Kyle. We're going to talk about the arena before we get out of here, but you know what I did today? I pulled up Cap Friendly, and I went to that armchair GM thing, and I looked at where the cap's going to be next year and who we got signed and da-da-da-da-da. We're going to need to trade somebody this year. This summer, someone's got to get moved. Whether it's a Hanifin or a who knows, but someone's going to get moved. But yep. And we're going to talk about this in coming episodes. But I played around with it a little bit, and I think we can field a pretty good roster next year.
I don't have any doubt at all.
But we're going to talk about in the future episodes here this summer. We're going to talk about who we're going to re-sign, who we think we should look at trading, what the plan for goaltending is. We got lots of things to figure out this summer.
Oh, tons. And there's a couple of contracts, and namely, we talked before, Zadorov and Hanifin. I think at least one of those gets moved.
I do too.
And I have no issue with that because I think that Will Shillington's back. Dennis Gilbert showed really well. Jeremy Poirier is probably closer than a lot of people realize. We have options internally that can replace one of those guys, and I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. Arena deal. We finally, for the second time, have reached an arena deal. $1.2 billion. City of Calgary pays $537 million. Calgary Sports and Entertainment, $356 million. And the government of Alberta, $330 million. Whew. Thoughts?
It's a lot of coin. Well, I know a lot of native Calgarians, Calgary residents. Some lament it because the money involved on behalf of the city. I know their neighbors to the north, Edmonton, are already looking to the province. We're like, okay, where's our handout for the next thing we're going to do? And I don't disagree with any of that talk or narrative. Without getting overly political about it, this team desperately needs a new arena to remain viable, to remain solvent long term, to attract players. So however it got done,
it's becoming safety. We need a new arena.
Oh yeah, I love the Saddledome. That's one of the only arenas I've been in where there's not a bad seat in the house. But however it got done, regardless how one feels about the circumstances, and there's lots of very valid opinions surrounding that, it had to get done. So,
yeah.
And you got to think too, these projects, and we just built a new arena here, and it's only holds 10 or 12,000 people. It's beautiful. But a new arena takes a lot of time to build. So getting a deal done, we're still in the Saddledome for at least two more seasons.
Oh, don't you think longer?
Oh, I'm being optimistic. If
I know.
Two is the absolute minimum. Realistically, it's 3 to 5.
Have you heard any time frame on shovels in the ground?
No.
I have not either.
But I would suspect expect probably late fall. There'll be some movement on that. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, agreement in principle or having an agreement at all is a far cry from a shovel in the ground, right?
But sadly, you almost got to get going because the prices aren't going down.
No, that's my jam. That's the business I'm in, right? And no, they're not.
Same with mine. Well, I mean,
exactly, right? Wood's cheaper right now. There's not a lot of wood in a building like that one.
Not a lot.
A lot of glass, a lot of steel, a lot of drywall. No, it's going to be a very, very expensive project. And
it's going to be fun to see.
I hope they inflated their budgets when they put all this money towards it because, again, these things are not going down. So no. How did you take the news when you heard about it? Relief? My God, finally? Or
you know, questions or what? When I heard this time, I felt a lot better about it. I felt like it was more real's not the regular word, but more of it's happening now. We all as a group, city, organization, team, everybody understands that this needs to be done.
And I think that's the reason you're not seeing as much infighting about how it's happening.
I think so. I felt a whole lot more comfortable about it. And you know what? Here's one of those things, you know. It's always tough because, you're going to have people that are against it and whatever, and I understand that. But this is something we need to celebrate. Calgary deserves a professional hockey team. They deserve to stay competitive in the entertainment market in Western Canada, and the city has had this arena since, was it 84? Saddledome?
I think it was 84, yeah.
84? That's a long time. You got your money's worth. You got your money's worth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I look at what a new event center and a resurgence of what that's going to do to the area and the money it's going to bring in, and you need this done.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's long overdue. The agreement is long overdue. I'm actually checking the date on the Saddledome too.
I'm pretty sure it's 84.
I think you're right. Opened on October 15th, 1983. Oh. So it's damn near 84, to be fair.
So I'm wrong again. Kyle likes to prove me wrong. No, I'm just joking.
Only when necessary.
I'm wrong a lot.
It's called being human.
Yeah. That's a lot to talk about today.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to I said this to you earlier, like when you go through a season like that one, the show becomes not difficult to do because it's always fun, but it's like, you're trying to hang on, hoping you make the playoffs, whatever. But now that we have, we're in the off season, we get some more time to think about what's going on. There's a bit more time in between what happens. It's like, it just feels like a more methodical time right now.
Yeah.
So we're going to be back as we need to be back, and otherwise we're going to stick to a bit of a loose schedule. But I have a feeling we're going to have lots to talk about each time we do this throughout the course of the summer.
Kind of the game plan is I'm looking at like May 24th-ish range right now for the next planned episode. Obviously, if we hire a coach, general manager, anything like that, we'll hop on with the show here. But we are going to talk hockey during the offseason. That is one of the things that Kyle and I believe is very important because Calgary Flames fans want to hear what's going on and stuff and our take. And we appreciate every single person that listens. And yeah, we plan on having quite a few shows over the summer, probably two a month, I think is probably what the game plan will be. And then come September, it'll be back to the weekly grind.
Looking forward to it, man. It's going to be an interesting, much like last offseason, just a very, very interesting time to be a Flames fan.
It is. It is definitely, definitely interesting, and lots of news and, some positive, some negative, but I think everybody's happy now because it's just like, all right, with Sutter being fired, we've washed our hands of everything from last year.
Yeah.
Right? Now it's time to start looking ahead, quit complaining about, what we dealt with last year in Calgary, and time to look forward and watch the Oilers lose to Vegas tonight, right?
You got it. And I mean, it's been a long time. It's a true living as GM. As much as I love the guy, it's kind of exciting to have a new face in that chair too.
Yeah, we'll see who it is. That should be happening here in the coming weeks. I would guess they'd have somebody in place by the draft. We'll see. Thank you for joining Kyle and I for another edition of Flames Unfiltered. Enjoy your summer. Play a lot of golf. Spend a lot of time with your family, and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, We will check in sooner than later. Thanks, everybody.
Connected Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. Check out the Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Host Brad Brood is on Twitter at Brad Brood, and host Kyle Lewis is on Twitter at VanLewis14. Like what you hear? Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Flames Unfiltered can be found on all the major podcast players. Want to watch the show? You got it. Check out Inside Edge Hockey Media Group for every show. Subscribe while you watch. Thanks for listening, watching, and interacting. Enjoy the hockey action.
The wind calls, play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.